For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I love this song. It's Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, great song.
That may have been the death blow for the Red Sox season last night. Pete Alonso taking one way out. I mean, they're already down three runs because Chris Martin, just a total implosion in that eighth inning. You know, I remember hearing a lot after the All-Star break. Well, just wait till Justin Slayton and Chris Martin come back. We're going to have to bring some bullpen arms in here because with those guys out, I mean, that's your bridge to Kenley Jansen. And without those guys, and listen, Chris Martin, since he's come back, has been very, very good. Justin Slayton only came back recently. But I'm watching this bullpen and thinking, man, you know, like, I like Martin. I think he's a good, solid pitcher. He's a good, solid pickup. Good story and everything. But you know, you look at this bullpen now fully intact, and I'm sorry, it's just, you know, it's hard to be super impressed with anything you're seeing offensively. The starting pitching's been better lately, not good enough. You know, it seems like even when the starters have a good start, either the offense disappears or the bullpen gives it away, or like last night, a combination of both. As you really only had Cutter Crawford give up that one hit, the two-run homer to Lindor in the third. The Red Sox were able to scrap together a run in the fifth, then down 3-1 in the eighth. Valdez had the sac fly to make it 3-2. And by the way, that sac fly was a significant sac fly. That's the first time they've cracked two runs in, I don't know, three, four games. Yep. Like, that meant something. I watched that, and I thought, oh, wow, hey, maybe the offense is about to snap out of it.
Nope.
Not so much. That was it, right?
Well,
there
was an offense that was about to snap out of it, but
it was the Mets.
The Mets. Who
and,
were put it
yeah,
away.
That bottom of the eighth inning, they just completely took it to Martin there. Slayton did give up the home run to Vientos in the seventh, but, yeah, it was really the eighth inning where this one fell apart, and it didn't matter anyway because 3-2 was enough to beat this team with the offense playing the way it is. And with Alex Cora hopefully now joining us at 4:10, I believe we'll go a little longer here in this segment.
The hell's going on with the traffic in New York?
Seems like this is one hell of a bus ride. I don't know. It's the bus from Manhattan out to Queens, right? Is that where they're going?
Yeah, I don't know.
How long does that take?
All I know is I'd be cranky.
They should take the train.
I don't like traffic.
Hop on that subway. Nothing bad ever happens on the New York subway, I don't think.
Get a helicopter.
That'd be cool.
Like they do down at Gillette. Everybody comes and goes with a helicopter.
Yeah, 25 guys in the helicopter. It's going to take a while.
25, huh? The 2024 Sox. 25 guys, 25 helicopters.
25 choppers. that's it. 617-779-7937 if you want to jump on here before we speak to Alex Cora. The Red Sox now one game over 500. Their run differential is even, which is kind of remarkable because coming into the second half of the season, or not the second half, but coming out of the All-Star break, the Red Sox were 10 games over 500 with a run differential of plus 41. Now, plus 41 isn't some incredible number that's, you know, wow, look at this team. Look at how great they are. Like the Orioles and the Yankees both have run differentials in the hundreds. So does, you know, the Phillies. So do the Dodgers, plus 121. The Brewers are plus 136. Like, that's not one of the higher ones by any means. And to see a 41 run differential evaporate down to nothing, though, over the course of basically the second half of July and then all of August is really, I think, just hammers home just how bad this whole thing's been. That's a brutal fall off. You know, like there's been bad fall offs here. Obviously, last September, we all remember, was a tough one, but this one really started right as the All-Star break ended. And there's no end in sight, it doesn't look like.
Nope. Although they went from one run to two, they go from two to four. Now we're starting talking about numbers that win baseball games, right?
Right.
So, hey, maybe SAT trends or whatever, a series of numbers, they're trending in the right direction. No, I was just thinking, because I've been big on, part of the reason I didn't believe in them was the sustainability. And then part of it was like, what do you hang your hat on? The right. Offense, the pitching, the bullpen, the defense. And if you made me pick right now, I think it'd be starting pitching. That I would say would be, if I were drafting, you know, the number one pick.
That's
of
been
Red
the strongest
Sox.
Probably. Answer. You're right. I'd agree with that.
And it hasn't been great. Don't get me wrong. It hasn't been dominant and anything like that. But I think they've kind of given you chances to win a bunch of baseball games, and then you haven't really been able to win a bunch of those baseball games.
Yeah, it's true. And listen, I mean, on Sunday, Monday, too, I was just completely apoplectic about the Cooper Criswell perfect game
thing.
Are we
going right back to that as soon as he's on the line?
It seems like a drop.
Because he already is mad at you for the skipper thing last
week. Well, he can be mad at me then. A lot of people are mad at him for that. Listen,
and he's going to be angry because he's sitting in traffic for hours.
Well, yeah, I'd be annoyed by that, too. But honestly, what I'm trying to say here is that seems like a drop in the bucket, doesn't it? I mean, like, that was a few days ago. It was annoying when it happened. Everybody was like, hey, what the hell? Since then, it just seems like that's, you know, just a small dip in what has been a colossal drop off here over the course of these last couple of weeks. I mean, it's just, you know, obviously we didn't like that. We didn't like him taking the guy out of the game with the perfect game. And I will ask him about it when he calls in. But I do think that, you know, now it just sort of seems like, you know, just a very small piece of what has been a dramatic collapse.
Well, yeah, because it's a very specific question as opposed to, what the hell's going on with the offense?
Yeah.
Right? Which is not nearly as specific, other than your best hitter is dealing with shoulder issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to tell people what I'm going to ask about Devers' shoulders and say, I don't really understand how a guy's had two bad shoulders all year long and yet keeps playing.
Yeah.
Like, is he hurt? Is he injured? Like, what the hell's going on there? That's my angle.
I wonder
our angles out there.
I wonder if we were all just sort of taken by this thing. You know, did we all just kind of get taken in?
Yes. Absolutely.
From April until June 10th. This was a 500 team. I mean, really, that's all they were. They'd swing up and they'd swing down, and when it seemed like things were bad, they'd win a couple of games, get back to 500, and that's just basically what the story of most of the first half of the season was all about. They were a 500 team. They never swung too far in either direction, and maybe this is just what they were destined to be all along. You know, like, maybe that's just what it is. They had a very, very strong June into the All-Star break. That's when they got to 10 games over 500, and since then, they've just gotten right back to where they were before. You know, maybe this was what they were destined to be all along.
Water and reaching its level.
Exactly. You know, maybe they were just a 500 team that had a big swing, and then they had the big swing backwards, and now they're back to 500, and that's what they are, and that's all they were ever really destined to be all along.
And as we talked about earlier, some of that is understandable in the big picture. When you sort of looked at what Alex Cora in February, when he's looking at his baseball team, probably figuring out strengths and weaknesses and what my infield's going to look like, what my outfit. This team is not a lot like probably what he was projecting on paper as he was sort of figuring out what he would be preparing for this season. And then the other aspect was the emotional lift of, which felt like a lift, the combination of his extension and checking off boxes, if not necessarily loading up with talent at the trade deadline, right? Retroactively, it doesn't look nearly as impressive. And even at the time, it wasn't knock your socks off impressive. It was kind of like, well, I guess they kind of gave me what I wanted at a few places with guys that, once I Googled them, knew who they were. Or, you know what I mean? Like, Danny Jansen. I'm like, oh, Danny Jansen, a backup catcher. Paxton was the name you knew just because he was here. And you got a little excited because you're like, I think he was like 8-0 with the Dodgers?
He had some record. 8-1 or 8-2. He had a good record.
And then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They score a lot of runs for him when he pitches.
They did.
He is the reason why wins and losses aren't the statistic it once was in Major League Baseball for pitchers.
Sure, but he pitched okay. I mean, his first two starts here, he pitched pretty well.
Sure.
You know, and then they just
they'd
got
be
hurt.
Better with him if he were still here.
Absolutely.
Right? But we just said that starting pitching hasn't been the thing. So unless he was going to hit in the 4 days he wasn't pitching, he wasn't necessarily going to help them. And the offense that everybody told me was more sustainable than I thought it was has not been as sustainable as you people believed.
No, it really hasn't. And
including the manager.
That's,
I mean,
with
last
the
night he said it's a good offense that isn't playing well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it? You sure about that?
He also, you know,
Gerard,
I mean,
Mayo's good running game. You sure about that?
Tristan Casas is back. Right, I mean, like, you got some guys back that were hurt. You're not dealing with the banged up offense in the sense that you're missing a big bopper in your lineup anymore. He did come back and
Story.
He was hitting. Trevor Story, if you want to,
an all star shortstop.
You've not been with him all year and most of last year, so I don't know. I mean,
still an all star shortstop who makes $20 million a year.
He does. And he was an all-star. When was
if
he
you can call
last,
Mac
like,
Jones
5 years ago?
A Pro Bowler, then I can call Trevor Story an all star shortstop. Okay,
fair.
Those are equivalents, I feel like.
I don't think so, because Trevor Story was... When was the last time Trevor Story was an All-Star? Let me pull that up.
Last time Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler.
Okay, but we were talking about a fall-off from the very next year.
They're both not worthy of the honors that they were bestowed.
Trevor Story was an All-Star last in 2019. Okay, so that was 5 years ago. And before, let's see, that was 3 years before he made it even onto a Red Sox roster, which in the time that he's played here for Boston... He has played in 145 games, in 3 seasons, which is almost a full season, but not quite, which tells you a little bit about that investment and where it all went. And listen, I wanted Trevor Story to be a contributor this year. I think we all did. I was excited about that signing. It seemed like, at the time, before we knew it was going to be a Xander Bogaerts replacement, it seemed like an investment in the offense in the middle infield, which they certainly needed, and I was excited about it. I think a lot of people were. I think people were excited about that signing. It has not worked out. I mean, listen, he's just not been healthy.
Do you want an update on Cora Watch 2024?
Sure.
420, lock it in.
420.
Definite. 420, Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, will be speaking on the afternoon program with Arcand and Hart.
All right. No way that's changing. Well, let's go ahead and trend then. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's Justin Turpin.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline is Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh, also brought to you by Arbella Insurance, here for baseball fans, here for good. Alex, we have you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sounds like you had a hell of a bus ride there. What's going on out there in New York?
They closed down the Midtown Tunnel. Something happened, so we found out when we took off from the hotel, and it only took us an hour 45 to get to Citi Field, so that's cool. Always cool.
Sounds awful. Well, it's been a tough couple of days, tough week, I'd say, for your ball club right now. The offense certainly struggling. Rafael Devers struggling as well. You mentioned last night you were going to be moving him in the lineup. What went into that decision?
I just feel like, you know, kind of like give him a different at bat, right? Hopefully JD is on base, minute second, and Rafi gets a pitch in the zone. He can pull it, you know, and even if the result is not a single, you know, kind of like if he hits a ground ball second, he helped the ball club right there in that situation. He's been good hitting second throughout his career. He likes it. One thing is different now than when we decided to hit him fourth, we got all our lefties now together, you know, and it really doesn't matter how you set him up in the lineup. At one point in the game, there's going to be a lane there for the opposition to bring lefties. So having JD and Rafi sounds kind of like tempting, right? Especially now that we're struggling. I know Rafi, you know, he's not swinging the bat well right now, but I do believe this is a good spot for him, and hopefully he can come out of this.
Alex, could you just clear up this situation with Devers' shoulders? I know one of them goes back to, I guess, March. He's missed some time, the All-Star break. There's this old school football question. Are you hurt or are you injured? Clearly his performance is not where you'd like it to be. Where is he health-wise right now?
It's not getting worse. And this happened in Colorado. He dove for a ball. I think it was the second game of the series or the third one. And as you guys know, coming out of spring training, he was a little bit banged up. He took care of that. And then after that, everything was fine. But this one is a throwing one. It's the lead shoulder. And like I said, he's not getting worse, you know, but he's not getting better. You know, he's getting treatment. He's doing everything possible to go out there and perform. There's a few things that actually I was just getting the information from the analytic department about his swing path and bat speed and all that stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can present it to him and make slight adjustments, you know, if we have to, right? And like I said, you know, we switched the lineup to give him a different at bat. But the physical part of it, he's not 100%. Everybody knows that. But the kid he's done it before, right? He played in 21 with a bad elbow and helped us win a lot of ball games. And I still believe that, you know, he can put a productive at bat and he can get hot again and carry this offense.
Okay, so that's the physical part of it. The emotional or leadership part of it, I know, got a lot of attention last night with the weight at his locker by reporters. So I guess my question would be, is there an issue here where your best player, your highest paid player, isn't necessarily your team spokesman or face of the franchise? Is that an issue right now?
I don't think it's an issue. We all talk about this the last few years, right? And I think he made some strides throughout the year. He made some comments in spring training. He sat there on that bench for like 20 minutes, and he talked about the organization, a few things, you know. And people like it or not, you know, he was there. And throughout the years, there've been stretches that he's been available to the media. Sometimes, you know. He's not, you know, and he's not comfortable with it yet, you know. I think little by little, obviously the language thing comes into play. He's been better about that, and I understand that, you know, the media has a job, and I understand that us as members of the organization, we're the spokesman, right? Like, we're telling the story, and the fan base, they like to hear the story when we're doing well, when we're struggling, when we hurt, when we're not, and that's something we always talk about to the players, you know. And yesterday, he wasn't available. I know he became a story. I actually haven't seen him today. We were going to talk about the offensive side of it. We'll talk a little bit about the other stuff. But, you know, Rafi, he's still learning. He's still, you know, kind of like a shy player that, you know, sometimes he hates talking to the media. That's the bottom line. And yesterday wasn't a good day for that.
Would you consider the fact that the offense has gotten kind of quiet lately, is that sort of a reflection? Like, does the offense go as Devers goes?
No. I think it's more about him, actually. I talked to him 2 days ago. I'm, you know, always asking him about his health. That's the most important thing, right? Like, if one day he comes in, he's like, Alex, man, I can't go, then, you know, that's a huge red flag. And he was very honest about it. He's like, Alex, I feel okay. You know, I feel good health-wise, I just don't feel great at the plate, you know, and, you know, it's part of it. And he knows that everything we do here offensively is around him, right? We set the table for him, and he's a big boy, right? He's a big boy in the lineup. There's other guys that are struggling right now, but when you talk about the Boston Red Sox and you're the opposition, you circle him around, right? This is the guy that he's not going to beat us. And, you know, right now, the last few weeks, he's been struggling.
Alex, obviously, you've been unfortunately familiar with some late season struggles, August and September, in recent years. Have you? Mm-hmm. Have there been similarities you've seen to the common threads to those seasons? Are there things you've learned maybe through those past experiences that you're hoping can help you pull the team out of this one? How do you use that experience to your advantage?
I'm telling you, man, sometimes I go to the hotel and I'm like, are we doing it right? You know, like, you know, for everything that we've done throughout the season, are we leading this guy the right way? You know, and, you know, the effort is there. You see the pitching, it has turned the corner. You know, we're pitching a lot better. And the last few years, it's been the offense. If you look at it, you know, we didn't have a great offensive month last year. And this year, the last 15 games, I think it is, right? He started the last game in Baltimore. We're not hitting. We're not hitting. And we know we're better than this. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with some of the players. We just got to show up today and find a way, you know. And find a way is minute second, no outs, hit a ground ball to second, minute third, less than two outs, put the ball in play, have the lead. And the lead is not 1-0, you know, have like a 3-0 lead, 4-0 lead, going into the sixth, go to the bullpen and win the game. And then reset tomorrow in the off day, and then Friday we have to be ready for the White Sox, you know. And you look around the league, and sometimes, you know, I look at the scoreboard and I'm like, wow, you know, we kind of like survive another day, because while we're struggling, the other teams are struggling, other teams are playing better. You see Detroit, you see Seattle. So it's going to be very interesting, but we have the talent. I think the pitching like I said, is in a good place. And if we continue to pitch, I do believe we're going to hit.
You mentioned the pitching. Obviously, this happened a few days ago. Many things have happened since then. But with the benefit of hindsight, would you go back? If you could go back, would you have left Cooper Criswell in when that perfect game?
100%. 100%. I'll go to the bullpen. You know, this is something that we talk about before the game. And there was a lane there for us to maximize our lefty against their lineup. It just didn't happen. You know, and I can live with that because, you know, it wasn't gut feeling or, oh, let's try to do this. You know, it was preparation, and there's a lot of people involved into this. And coming into the game, that was the plan. It just didn't work.
How'd Cooper take it?
He's okay. I mean, they all understand that when I go out there or when I take him out of the game, you know, it's like we feel that they did their job, you know, and, you know, there's another guy that has to do their job, and he's okay with it. He'll be ready for the White Sox.
All right, let's get to the manager question of the game, which is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. The Sherwin-Williams Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business. This comes to us from Doug in Alston. He says, Alex, who is the toughest pitcher the Red Sox have faced this season?
Skubal on Saturday. Good fastball, good sinker. The changeup is good. Location was great. And the last pitch of that outing in the eighth inning on a close game, it was 99, I think it is. I do believe right now he's the best pitcher in the big leagues.
And real quick before we let you go, Trevor, you mentioned the offense. Trevor Story, is he going to be an option to maybe help this offense? What's the update on him?
Trevor is playing, what's today, Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Back-to-back games today and tomorrow. We'll see where we at Friday, and, you know, we'll make a decision if he needs to keep playing or he joins it. But he's in a good spot. He's playing well, you know, getting his timing down and eager to help us win some games at the big league level.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Alex Cora, thanks so much for the time. Sorry about the long bus ride. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Alex Cora in Queens, finally, after a long delay there on the bus getting from Midtown out to Citi Field because what was closed?
The Midtown tunnel. Queens Midtown Tunnel closed due to water main break.
Oh, you hate to see that.
You know, that's one of those things where even if you have the Waze app, everybody else does too, and the Waze app sends you the same way, so you end up in traffic somewhere else still the same.
You know where that is really a problem now? Mansfield, when there's a concert, because everybody gets off the highway and then Waze takes them through the back roads. And so all these people who just happen to live in Mansfield, not even really near Great Woods or whatever Great Woods is called now, you know, if they're just somewhere near the exit, they have long line of cut, you know, just like backed all the way up. The last two shows I've been to there, it's just these people are out on their lawns like, what the bleep is going on up here? And it's Waze. That's what it is. It's
blame Waze.
That's what it's all about.
It also works for you when you need it, usually.
Cora, not second guessing his decision to take out Criswell with the perfect game. I don't think I expected him to. I thought maybe he'd say,
"Yeah, you're right, Arcan."
Not that he'd say I was right, but I mean, listen, it may not have mattered in that game anyway. They may have ended up losing the game because they only scored one run. But if the guy finished the perfect game, then you would have won 1-0. You know? you need wins these days.
I did find the Devers stuff interesting, both the physical that it's not getting worse, so it doesn't sound like our question about shutting it down is really a consideration at this point.
He's getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, like, his shoulders may not be that bad, but, like, he's clearly playing through something, and he is getting worse, it seems like, every game.
Correct, but they don't seem to think it's a direct tie, like, he can't hit. He should be hitting. You know, he's talking about the analytics and the swing path stuff and things they'll go over. But I also found it interesting that he said they'll probably spend some time talking about the way he handled or didn't handle the media last night and his responsibilities. And it's an interesting factor. I find it very interesting specifically because Alex Cora, who the language thing, Cora's probably like, I mean, hey, I'm the manager of the Red Sox. I talk every day. Like, you know, it can be done if you want to do it. He flat out said that Devers doesn't like talking to the media. It's very simple. And this has always sort of annoyed me. Like, I think Bill Belichick didn't like talking to the media.
Right.
And I always say this, okay, so go coach football or go play baseball in a field in Iowa by yourself. You still get to hit bombs. It'll be fun. And not a single reporter will line up to ask you a question. You take the $30 million a year paycheck in the city of Boston. It comes with some baggage, right? It's not going to be all perfect.
Yeah.
there's some stress to it.
And it's
or whatever.
In your contract. You got to talk to the media. I mean, I hate to put it that way. Like, it makes it seem like, you have to talk to it. But, like, that's part of your being a superstar. It's part of you. And listen, I understand mental health and boundaries and all that other stuff I saw people tweeting about last night. Oh, leave Rafael Devers alone. He should be able to have boundaries.
What?
Like, not really. Not when you're making that kind of, not when you sign a contract that says that you have to speak to the media, which they all did and which they all do. And that's the reason why baseball is a $1 billion industry.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's not that the media is so great or anything. Yeah, sure. You don't have to like anybody in the media. That's your prerogative. Fine. But there's a reason why that stuff is written into all these contracts. It's a reason why they have to sign on the dotted line and say, yes, I will do this. I will speak to these people.
As Alex said, tell the story. They want the players to tell the story. Red Sox Nation is a big group of fans that still care. Yet you hooked them, as you said earlier. I think a good portion of Red Sox Nation took the cheese, got hooked at some point.
I definitely did.
During the right? And now they may regret it, or they're like, what the hell's going on? And the guy they want to ask, what the hell's going on with you, is there. That's the other thing. Be much easier if he just disappeared. Run the hell out of there and hide. I used to watch Patriots do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go through as many, you know, down periods as Devers has probably in the last
few
years.
Sitting there for an hour.
Right. Just go.
Yeah,
Matt Light used to hide in Miami. Jason Taylor would whoop his ass, and he would hide and not talk to the media, and somebody like Logan Mankins would have to answer for the offensive line and for Matt Light. Like, he's not the first to
with his sunny personality.
Well,
must have been
but he would always answer
he
questions.
He would talk, yeah.
He was a true stand-up professional. Or Matthew Slater has been that guy for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's asked questions that he really has nothing to do with.
Right.
But he's kind of the spokesman, tough times. You know, he stands up to the call. And that's the other thing. Is there anybody else that can stand up? You know, Bogarts. This is an area where Bogarts was clearly trending toward being the captain, the leader, the spokesman, the whole damn thing, the guy who didn't take days off at home because the kid in the front row came to see me.
Right.
So as much as you question the value of Bogarts on the field, and is he as good a player as he once was or whatever and all those things, he had some value in the clubhouse and off the field. And they're missing that. They're missing somebody right now, I think, to step up and be that guy who's just going to answer the questions. It's not easy right now because the only guy who does it is probably the manager.
Yeah.
And Cutter Crawford, but he said things he shouldn't have said.
Crawford, sure. Jaron Duran, maybe they don't want.
Duran is like a weird one because I think
he's a bit of a wild card.
Yeah, but he's kind of done it.
Yeah.
He's kind of stepped up and taken a leadership role as he's ascended to a higher quality of player role, but he's got a little baggage and missteps and some issues of his own that he probably doesn't want to necessarily always be in front of cameras answering questions.
Yeah, and he's a little sensitive and he has a little bit of a temper,
yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's not always a great combination when you're trying to show a steady hand of leadership in a locker room. Not that he's, you know, not that he can't ever be a leader. It just sort of seems like that's a part of his personality that maybe they don't want to highlight and throw out in everyone's face every day.
And I also think we overrate this. It can be very easy. It can literally be two or three questions. And they're not going to ask you, why do you suck? Like, they're not going to be these, like, biting questions. Or,
right.
Do you think the team regrets signing you for $300 million? They're going to ask the shoulders, the slump. How do you get out of this? You know, the team not hitting. Like, there's going to be, like, four obvious questions. And then the PR guy will be like, okay, guys, anything else? And boom, Devers is out of there. He did his duty. Fans look at him differently. Media looks at him differently. The way he handled it was, quite honestly, probably the worst possible way to handle it. Either disappear or answer the questions. But don't hang out in front of their faces for an hour and a half or whatever the hell it was and just make them angrier that you're not talking to them. It was the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, and again, I understand no one's ever going to feel bad for the media.
Like, oh, just, I
that's,
am.
That's not our listeners aren't. I mean, no one who's listening.
They should.
To this.
Do you
Except
have no
that
heart?
One caller. There was one caller who was like, "Yeah, you shouldn't have done that." But like, generally, I would say fans will side with the players almost every single time. It's players versus media. I feel like fans side with players. That's just the way it is. You can make your face. I mean,
screw
I'm just telling
them.
I'm telling you how it is. That's the way. That's the way
it
generally is.
They're like
is.
That until they actually have to do it, or until their job is held back by somebody else.
Sure.
Right. Everybody gets annoyed in this world when you're trying to do your job, but somebody else who's involved prevents you from doing your job. That's what Devers did. Forget
right.
about sports, fans, you know. They were prevented from doing their jobs by somebody else.
Absolutely.
Who could have made their jobs much easier, their nights much easier, and much quicker.
Yeah. No question about it. And I'm sure they were all dying to get out and hit the streets of New York City.
You think the long bus ride will help the maybe this is like one of those wacky things where the Red Sox have won six in a row since the long bus ride.
We're
grasping at
straws. They sit on a bus for like an extra hour and a half like every day now. Well, you're right. I mean,
they didn't show up at the park, they got better for a couple days.
For like a day or two. Yeah.
Okay, well, small victories. We're looking for small victories right now.
Any win would be nice.
From now on, they have to take long bus rides everywhere. Corey's like, nope, it's going to be an hour and a half to the stadium.
You have to drive. You have to like aim for the traffic jam.
Yes.
You get on Waze and you see where the traffic's really bad and go that way.
And people are like, there's actually no traffic. Why are we not moving? Well, because we have to go. Coach says we got to do an hour and a half. Am I allowed to call him coach? What is he? Manager.
Not skipper. Just whatever it is, make sure it's not skipper.
I'm not an idiot. I know that.
Tanner Houck is getting the start tonight for the Red Sox opposite Tyler McGill for the Mets. Red Sox now trying to avoid losing five in a row and falling further out of this thing. I say falling further out like they've fallen very far lately. They haven't because the Royals keep losing too. The Royals have lost seven straight games, and I think that's what makes this hurt more. That's what makes this more upsetting is you've had such a golden opportunity here for a team that in a lot of ways, I'd say Kansas City has really, they treated the deadline differently. They had a much better offseason than you did. They did a lot of things right, and they're unraveling right now. I mean, they look completely lost out there, and you just can't capitalize. That, it's one thing if they're winning, if they've won seven games in a row, and you're falling further back, and you can't keep up with them, and you just can't. Like, there was a time when that was the case. The Royals had a five- or six-game win streak going on or something like that. The Red Sox won a bunch of games, and they still ended up losing a game in the standings. That, you can deal with that, right? Like, what are you supposed to do? They're just too good. They're on a seven-game losing streak, and you can't make up any ground.
But they can't lose forever. That's the problem. You know for a fact they are going to win games.
This
was
the window.
There's no chance.
And it's going to close soon.
Right. And so you could possibly go on a win streak of six games, and the Royals might go 5-1, right? Because they're also due to win some games.
Yep.
You're both borderline playoff teams. So just in terms of the measurements of a three-quarter plus of a baseball season, you're similar baseball teams. Talented enough to maybe make the playoffs, flawed enough to maybe miss the playoffs. So you're due to be similar in some way, and you've both been losing. So you're both due to win.
Yeah.
The Christian Fourier theory of due.
We'll see. It'd be nice to see the Red Sox escape New York with at least one win here before they head back. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We have, I don't want to call it breaking news, but we have the very first New England Patriots injury report. We'll give it to you right after this. It's Gerard Mayo being asked earlier today about the offensive line, which is a question I asked Jacoby Brissett. I asked him, is the offensive line situation settled? He goes, yeah, it's settled. And then Gerard Mayo comes up today. He's like, yeah, we don't know who the offensive line is yet. We're not totally sure yet who's going to be playing where and who's going to be doing what. And this may throw a wrench into it as well. The first injury report of the young season has begun. The young season, which hasn't even started yet. Your very first injury report looks like this. Full participants, Christian Ellis, Hunter Henry, Anthony Jennings, and Dietrich Wise. I didn't know Jennings and Wise were dealing with anything, but they were all full participants today. Limited in practice was Jonathan Jones with a hamstring, Vidarian Lowe with the abdomen, Josh Uche with a foot problem, and Big Ox, O'Shane Jimenez, who Brissett told us is going to surprise people this year, the linebacker dealing with an ankle problem. And there was one DMP, and that DMP, as you've been hearing from Terp all day today, was Sidy Sow dealing with an ankle, who, according to the unofficial Patriots depth chart, which was put together by the media relations crew, he's your starting left guard. If he is a non-participant, where do you see this going, Andy? I mean, this is a big issue here with this team. What's going to happen with this offensive line? Who's going to be where, and how it's all going to work?
I think this is predictable and problematic is the way I would describe this right now. I mean, Nick Leverett, are you just going to slide him in?
But I mean, yeah, probably.
We also don't know if Lowe is healthy enough. I know Mike Giardi said he spoke with him, tweeted about it, and he didn't come away from the conversation feeling like Lowe was necessarily going to be healthy enough to go full game on Sunday. Plus, nobody's played a full game. Oftentimes in the past, under Belichick and Scarnecchia, they would use six or seven offensive linemen, rotate some guys through because they didn't feel like guys were ready for 60 plays.
I think you're probably going to see that with Lowe and Okorafor and maybe even that giant they just signed. Jacobs, DeMondre Jacobs. Like, yeah.
He's a giant.
Right.
I saw him today. He is a giant.
6'9", 400?
Yeah. He's a giant among NFL locker room men. Yeah. Not. I mean, I don't even know.
It's like Andre the Giant.
No, he's huge. Yeah. He's definitely in consideration for the biggest guy I've seen come through that locker room. And it was Terdell Sands. I think we talked about this when they signed him. But Terdell Sands was the guy that is my previous record holder in my mind for the largest man to go through that locker room.
Sands, I don't remember. Hey, he was bigger than Trent Brown?
Yeah, he was here for like a week. He wasn't very good. And Daniel Skipper, who is actually, I believe...
Don't call him Skipper.
That's actually his name.
Oh.
He's on the Lions now. He was 6'10". He was actually the tallest guy that's ever been on the Patriots. Chris Price of the Boston Globe told me that today. So pass that along. But no, this is like the emoji with your hands in the air.
The shrugging emoji?
The Patriots offensive line, two things I would use if I were a fan for emojis. Hands in the air and then the prayer symbol. Because that's what you're doing. You have no idea what it's going to look like. And either way, regardless of who's out there, you better pray your ass, because Onwenu, now does he bump back into guard? Do you move Laden Robinson to the other guard spot? Those are your two best guards. Chooks Okorafor at right tackle, where he spent most... Yeah, but who's playing left tackle?
Right.
You don't have enough duct tape right now. You got a bunch of things that are broken, and you're like ripping it and ripping it into smaller pieces to try to use it. It's a mess. And maybe when Brissett said it was settled, maybe he has just settled on the reality that it's a mess.
Yeah.
You could look at that a different way. Like, certainly. He realizes.
Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, it is what it is.
I'm going to see a bunch of different guys out there. They're probably going to get me hit. I'm probably going to have to try to get rid of the ball quickly. There's no world where I see the offensive line. We end Sunday, and you tune into the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI with Fitzy and Hart, and we're like, I never saw that coming. That line was dominant. Chiramondre, he rushed for a 180. Brissett never got touched. Like, we were joking about the BC game where they dominated the line of scrimmage.
They did.
They have the better line. They may have the better talent on the offensive line. This is like one of those questions where they always ask, would Alabama beat the worst NFL team? Well, does BC legitimately have a better offensive line than the Patriots? I think it's a fair question to ask. And that there's a work in progress? Hey, coach, it's Wednesday of game week.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know who the five guys are going to be. The best five, the right five. I don't even really care. Just put five out there.
Give me something.
Do you have five? Is Nick Leverett going to start next to David Andrews? I don't love it.
If it's not him, the only other backup guard they had, they have Laden Robinson.
Yeah.
They have Zach Thomas, from the Rams, the offensive lineman. And in terms of guards, that's it. Yeah. I mean, they can move Jacobs over. They can move Caden Wallace over. They could do Onwenu. Yeah, they can move him over, I guess, and then leave the tackle position open. I think you got to leave Onwenu with tackle. That's where I would leave him. I wouldn't mess with that. I think that's, at this point, more important. If you really are leaning on the run game so much and you need to have that interior shorn up a little bit, then try the kid out or something. And if it's just such a mess, then fine, put Onwenu back there. But if you need to pass the ball, and assuming that this team is going to need to pass the ball,
yeah,
then you need him at tackle.
So Chooks Okorafor will be your starting left tackle.
Probably, yeah. Or Lowe, yeah.
Well, if Lowe can't go.
If Lowe can't go, then it's Okorafor and Montre the Giant.
What about Caden Wallace? I have no idea.
Wallace could be in there too. I'd sort of picture Wallace as like the backup right tackle.
So this conversation we are having is basically the conversation we were having on July 23rd.
Definitely.
And now we're having it on September 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing advanced?
What do you think's advanced?
I think nothing's advanced.
I don't think anything's advanced.
Absolutely not. The only thing that's advanced a little bit is there was the actual speculation of right tackle, right guard for Onwenu, and it feels like maybe right tackle, because a lot of people are really starting to like and jump on the Laden Robinson train, and they're like, okay, if we just put Onwenu at right tackle, Robinson at right guard, and Andrews at center, those three we feel pretty good about. Now we just got to figure out these other two, and I think most people are in the so is good enough to play left guard range.
Yeah.
And then it's all like, I don't know, we got to figure out who the hell the left tackle is. And, you know, over under, do they start 3.5 starters at left tackle this year, over under?
Over.
Yeah, I would take the over.
I'd take the over on that. Just
and you know what that is? That's
very
bad.
Much, but yeah, it's still
that's
not
bad.
Good,
you're going to start four different left tackles.
Probably.
That's a bad plan for a season.
It is.
That's a season that is not going to overachieve. Is not going to snowball for the positive, in my opinion.
We know Jerod Mayo is not a super offensive mind, right? We know that that's not his thing.
Doesn't
that's
even know the language.
Doesn't understand he's leaving that to the offensive people. Gerard Mayo's big thing is defense and motivation, right? He's a motivator. Right. He's a motivator type of coach.
Relationships.
Relationships, that type
people.
Of thing. Can he motivate this offensive line?
To do what? Be better?
Yeah.
No. What did we just talk
Isn't
about
that
with
what
the Red Sox?
Supposed to motivate him, right?
Do I think Alex Cora needs to motivate the offense to be better, or do I think the offense needs to be better? It's talent. It's not motivation. What is this, kindergarten? We're trying to motivate them?
If that's a big part of what makes him a good guy, what we think is going to make him a good coach, if he's a good coach, a motivator, guys want to play for him. Campbell out there in Detroit, he's a motivator, right? Yeah, guys run through a wall for Dan Campbell. Are they going to...
These guys would miss the wall. That's my point. Like, you can get better out of somebody, right?
These guys have missed the wall.
They kind of stink. I don't want to be disrespectful. They're professionals and all. But you're asking Gerard Mayo to be some sort of a magician. And by extension, Scott Peters and – that's his name, right? Scott Peters?
Yes.
Yeah. And Alex Van Pelt. This is like – again, the crossover is very similar. Like, you're going to expect Alex Van Pelt to put a representative offense on the field, right? Well, if the guys can't block, the offense is going to represent a disaster. That's what it's going to represent. It is what it is. How many – you've watched this for years with the Giants as they've struggled with their offensive lines or any – number of teams I've seen the Patriots play when the TV broadcast is like, well, we got to start with the Chargers line here. They've had to use 15 different starting lineups and blah, blah, blah. You know what that is? Loss.
Yeah.
Loss. You're just going to lose. It's an insurmountable challenge oftentimes. And I don't see any other way to look at it.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will reset on the Red Sox. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we will have our NFL predictions coming up in the next hour as well. We will go with comeback player of the year, coach of the year, and who's going to be the MVP of the league. We'll have all that for you coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.